Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am Lisa McNeely. My pronouns are she, her. I'm your host for Spotlight on Recruiting. I am excited to welcome our guest, Leslie Dagnalt, back with us. Hi, Leslie.
Hello, Lisa. It's nice to speak with you again.
Yeah, so welcome back, and thanks for being on the show. So for listeners that may or may not have known, so Leslie was with us back in 2022. Our episode was How to Get Your Candidates to Yes. On that show, we discussed strategies to keep our candidates interested and engaged. So our show today is Hiring Missteps, Navigating the Minefield, because literally sometimes that's what it feels like.
It is a minefield.
and I think there's a lot of, we want to talk about how do you avoid frustration in hiring. We're going to be discussing the common and inadvertent mistakes that hiring teams make, and what you can do to avoid them. But before we jump into that, Leslie, will you just take a minute for those listeners who may not know you or may, have forgotten
sure.
what your background is? Just share a little bit about
yes.
yourself.
Yes. Well, I've been a corporate recruiter for probably 20 years now. I've worked across many different industries over the years. I spent quite a long time as a contractor or consultant, and so I've worked across campus, executive, in financial services, in healthcare, in education, and I am currently working with a financial services firm.
Nice. Well, and I can just say that, like, for me, like, I've known Leslie, gosh, Leslie, I don't even know how long we've known each other. I don't think we should say because it just ages us. But I've known Leslie, I've known and worked with Leslie for a long time. We're just going to say that. She's a really great recruiter. I'm just honored to have you on the show. And it's very good to have someone who is both just so talented as you are, as well as, just such a great, nice person. So I just want to just throw that out there.
Well, the feeling is mutual. Lisa is an amazing recruiter, as you all have probably figured out over the years of her radio show. Best of the best.
Thank you. So, all right. So let's talk about some game-changing stuff. Let's go. So, Leslie, in your experience, what are the top three missteps hiring teams make that slow hiring or keep them from hiring?
Well, this is an experience we all have all the time, don't we, as recruiters?
I wish I could say I've never experienced it, but you're right. It happens all the time.
I'm thinking even over the last year, I've certainly had a few really strong examples of this, but I think number one is the job description. You need to start out with knowing what you're looking for, whatever
Agreed.
That is.
So it is have a job description, have a good job description and have a job, have one and make it a good one.
Right. Right. Make it a good one. Make sure everybody knows what we're looking for, that we're all on the same page, top skills that are really required and needed for the role. These are critical to moving forward. That's my number one. What's your number one?
That's a great, and I think we're going to probably have some overlap. One of mine, and it maybe comes along, it's in that beginning piece, right?
of, you know, right along with like a job description is have a budget. We're going to talk later, a little bit later in the show, more about solutions, but I can just share that a lot of times you get to the end, and if you don't have a budget and you don't set salary expectations up front with your candidate, when you get to the end, a lot of times you're not in alignment with either what the candidate's looking for or you're waiting to get those approvals, and it just slows the process. And if you have a really great candidate that is very marketable, it doesn't matter mm-hmm. if they were maybe proactively applied for your role or if you maybe sourced them, because when the minute that you talk to a passive candidate, as soon as you talk to them, in their mind, they're like, oh, I wasn't looking, but maybe I should be kind of looking out there. And so you have the chance of losing them because now you're stuck at a point that you should have done in the beginning of what's our budget and do we have approval on it? That would be one of my
right.
number ones.
Yes,
What's your number? What's your number two?
My number two would be, I really agree with your budget conversation. That's a big one. But going into my second one, it would be having alignment with your interview committee, whoever will be participating in interviewing candidates or interviewing candidates and making the final hiring decision needs to have alignment so that everybody's on the same page with what the important skill sets are, what skills could be transferable, et cetera.
Yep, that is actually mine as well. I think because you will never hire if you do not have alignment on what you're looking for. So I think that's a big one. And it kind of goes back to that job description, making sure that you have that. So, again, we'll talk solutions here in a minute, but I just want to we're going to keep going. So number two, we're the same on number two. Number three, what's your number three?
Mm-hmm. Okay, my number three was finding that perfect candidate, or as we sometimes like to say, the unicorn candidate. No, they do exist.
Is also been termed the squirrel or the unicorn.
Yes,
they don't
every
exist.
Once in a while.
They don't exist.
They do. No, they don't exist. You might find someone like that very close, but they really don't exist. And so, you know, again, it kind of comes back to the alignment. Where can we, you know, what are the concessions? What are the attributes or skill sets that this candidate can have that they could grow into, and just keeping an open mind about what those skill sets could be, where the growth can happen, and what's transferable.
Yeah, no, I think that's fantastic. And all of these are great. And I would say that, as far as order, there's not, I think, you know, it's thinking of the recruiting process, because like anything, there's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end. I'm thinking about my, what would be my top, I'm kind of going in the order of what the recruiting process looks like. My number three is not making hiring decisions quickly. And there's a lot of different reasons that this happens, but one of those being, you know, there's too many in the hiring process. It's either slow turnaround on feedback. We've all had, and I think every time I ask the question when I'm hiring a recruiter is, you know, what's one of, you know, the biggest challenges you've faced, you know, in recruitment. And I will say a lot of times they come back and it's the hiring leader. and it is true.
Absolutely.
That is a challenge. Like, at the end of the day, like, our job as recruiters, we are the consultants. Our job is to help identify the candidates and push those forward. But if we have a leader who is not engaged, that's a huge issue. Or not aligned, or the team is slow, or whatever. So mine is not making hiring decisions quickly, and a lot of reasons that can come into play, and we'll talk through that. So we now know what we're going to talk about as far as solutions, so don't go away. We're going to give just a quick moment to recognize one of our sponsors and partners, but don't go away because we'll come back and talk about some solutions.
The Women Lead Radio is brought to you today by Connected Women of Influence, our partner, National University. National University is proud to be one of the largest private nonprofit universities, founded in 1971. The National University mission is to provide accessible, achievable higher education to adult learners. Today, National University educates students from across the U.S. and around the globe with over 170,000 alumni worldwide. Thank you for your support, National University, and to all of our sponsors and partners. All right, so we're back with Leslie Dagnall, and we're going to be discussing some of the solutions to what our top missteps, inadvertent missteps, are. So let's talk about, let's just start from the beginning, like job descriptions. We had said, you know, you need to have a job description. It needs to be a good job description. Leslie, in your mind, what makes up a good job description?
It's going to outline. We want it to be cast the widest net. That's what I'm always thinking in my mind. So, you know, whatever we can sort of, the basic skill set, that's absolutely mandatory for the role. And then moving on some of those qualifications to the preferred bucket. I think our purpose really in that posting is trying to equate it. We're going fishing, right? We're a bunch of candidates, so we want to cast the widest net possible.
Yeah, so I think for good job descriptions, I think that one of the things that, you know, for me is, one, you got to think of it as, so there's a difference, right, between a job description and a job posting. Definitely a difference. We actually have a show on Women Lead Radio and Spotlight on Recruiting with Christy Schutz. Christy, you know Christy. You worked with Christy. So Christy was on the show, and we talked about, like, she worked in recruitment advertising, and we walked through, like, here are the things that you need to do, difference between a job description and job posting. So job description, that's kind of your legal requirement. Here is all of the things for the job that this person needs to have, be able to do. Your job posting, this is your job ad. Now, your job description is going to be longer than your job posting, but your job posting, this is what you're doing to attract candidates. And I think to your point, you know, it needs to focus on what are the must-haves of this job. And I think, you know, in terms of how a job posting should be, is it should be something that is an advertisement. It's going to attract that candidate to the role. So you need to create your job ad posting, thinking about the candidate. What's in it for them? Not just what I need, what do they need? And so I think there's, you know, the four parts of that would be, you know, what are we looking for as far as the role? Like 4 to 6 bullets max, because we know that anything more than that, most women will not apply for a role unless they meet 100% of the bullets. So if you want to have a more inclusive job ad, then you want to have less bullets. Plus, nobody wants to read 20 bullets. By the time they hit 4 or 5, they quit reading at that point anyway. But it needs to be exactly what do you need for this role. I think the second piece would be what's in it for them. Why would top talent want to join your organization? How are they going to make an impact to the organization? How, you know, how is this role related to the mission of the company? I think, you know, depending on where you are, you know, in the U.S., there's different laws as far as, like, salary expectations, but a lot of them, in California is one, New York is one, there's different things around, you know, the requirements as far as putting in the salary. But in most places, and even if you don't, it's not a law or requirement, my recommendation is if you know what the range of salary is, that you put it in the job description. Google will pick that up. If you don't have a salary range, Google won't pick it up in Google Jobs, just so you know. So I think that would be another piece that I'd want to add. Yeah, there you go.
Great point.
All right. So, and that kind of brings us to the budget piece. So, you know, if you're going to include the salary range within your posting, you should know what your budget is. I think that there's a couple of solutions, I guess, reasons for this. and if you're in recruitment or you're a hiring leader, is it's so much easier of a conversation in the end if you've already had this conversation in the beginning. And I know for me, yet when I have, you know, my first, we have our intake strategy calls. I think that's like, as far as a solution, that's one of the first things that a recruiter should have with their hiring manager. And in that, it's going to be asking those questions of, you know, number one, what is your budget for this role? Because when I talk to candidates, I want to be able to set that expectation up front of what we're looking to pay, because it doesn't make sense to get them to the end and not be aligned on what the salary is. I think location, relocation, is it a remote job? Is it, you know, in an office? What's the biggest challenge, you know, for the role? What does success look like? These are all the type of questions that you can ask in that strategy call. And part of that can help define what that job description looks like as well.
At least I think, you know, these points that you're bringing up are really important ones, because sometimes as recruiters serving our organizations and our hiring leaders, I lose in the shuffle that we're really also representing our candidates and trying to provide them with the best experience for the new company. A really important decision for themselves.
Yeah, no, and I think that comes right down to the next, you know, the next one of the other ones that we had talked about was like that slow hiring process. And I think, you know, as for you, Leslie, what do you believe is some of the things that you see when we talk about like a slow recruiting process? And I know that we can talk about from the candidate, you know, how a candidate slows things down, but how do hiring teams inadvertently, in your opinion, slow things down? And what can we do to make them quickly? I don't think that was right.
Quickest. Well, I mean, I think there are a couple of things that we've already touched on in our call, which are important. One is that intake meeting with your hiring leader. Kind of set the tone, set the timeline that we're working towards. You know, putting markers or meetings in place. Well, we're 2 weeks, we'll be here, and another, you know, 2 weeks we'll be here. I anticipate the process will take this long.
Yeah, and I think
the timeline.
I agree, because I think, you know, depending on the leaders and, you know, how busy their schedule is, or, you know, what the case may be. I've had leaders where, especially in high volume recruitment, where we, in the intake call, like we talk about like the job and all of that sort of thing. But one of the things in all of mine is I always ask about who the interview committee is going to be. So aside from you hiring leader, who else is going to be part of this interview process? And if it's ideally, you don't want more than 4 interviews. Any more of that becomes a popularity contest. The candidates start to just regurgitate the same information. If for some reason you have to have, and I think that's a question that you need to ask yourself is, you know, this person that we're putting on as part of the interview committee, do they really have a say, yes or no? I think a lot of times I have leaders that will say, well, I just want it to be more of an introductory because they're going to be part of the team. And I have to push back and say, you know, if they're interviewing with a colleague, if this colleague says, hey, I don't want to hire them, and you really like them, are you going to hire them anyway? Because now you have a problem. And so unless they have a veto authority, maybe not have them part of the interview process. And then the next thing would be is to make sure that everyone who's part of the hiring team, they know in advance that they're part of the hiring team. And then you as hiring leader, what are the things that you want your hiring committee to focus on? Because everybody shouldn't be focusing on the same thing, because again, the candidate's just regurgitating the information. If you have to have 6 people interview, then I would do a panel interview. And again, that way the candidate can introduce themselves, ask your specific questions, and try to limit the amount of time, a number of interviews, and make the process go a little bit faster. I mean, I think there's many steps in that process that can sort of help the hiring process move along on a quicker description. Sometimes we have leaders that take several to get us, you know, their final description. So if we can sort of also intercept and maybe help.
Right. And I think, you know, I think I went off the rails there, but one of the things that I do, especially for high volume, was, and I even do it for some of my, you know, my more harder to fill, is, and we had talked about this just offline, is setting up meetings in advance. And so for my, you know, for some of my leaders who are super busy, I will ask them, like, hey, so when is the best time? When I talk to a candidate and they're, and I feel that they need to go into that next round with you, what is going to be the next, you know, next week? What does your calendar look like? Can you block some time now for me? And what are that's availability? Because then instead of doing the back and forth, are you available? Are you not available? I can actually have that candidate booked because they've already blocked the time on their calendar. And if we don't have a calendar for, say, for that block time, well, you know what? Every leader likes to get an hour back in their day. So it's not a bad strategy to have. The other thing I do, and I know you do this as well, and you talked about it, is, you know, having that debrief call. After your candidates have gone through interviews, have that call already set up. Because you know when they're scheduled, have that call set up, have everybody on the call and do a quick debrief and feedback so that you can move on to the next round.
That is a strategy that, you know, we picked up in campus recruiting days, and we would always have the debrief with all the interviewers, and it was highly effective. And I think it's not something we use that often in corporate recruiting, but it's very effective.
Yeah, and I think it goes, so you want to get alignment in the beginning. And if, you know, and you could even have to say, like, if you have your interviewers, you know, you could have that intake strategy call, and I've done this where everybody who was part of the interview process was on that initial call. I've also had it where it was just the hiring leader. But I think depending on what the role looks like, if you have a role where it's, you know, it may be as more of a niche type of a role, maybe include the other people on the call so that you can get the alignment. And I think that's the same point,
have
too.
Have a discussion.
After the interviews, having that feedback session, that, you know, at the end, that debrief, that will also help with that alignment piece and making sure that everybody is staying focused on what we're truly looking for in the role. Because I do think that, you know, so that kind of goes back to that. And to your point of the unicorn and the purple squirrel, because if you don't have that debrief, right, you could have four people who are interviewing, but they're all looking for something different. Or one person, three people are looking for one thing, and one person is looking for something completely different.
Big absolutely.
Crazy communication. Wow, that, you know, it's crazy to have some communication.
I mean, I think we've all had that example where you just can't. And as a recruiter, you want to deliver. You want to bring them what they want. You're out there scouring, you know, the earth to bring them what they want. But at the same time, you know, if they're not aligning on what are the key factors or the most important pieces of that role, then you're not going to be able to move forward.
No, you'll never hire. And I know that I've had examples just in my, you know, over my career where, you know, we had leaders who just were not aligned on what we were looking for. And, you know, and the thing too is there's different types of candidates, and we talked about this, is, you know, and I think this is part of that intake call, and I think any of our listeners who, you know, are interested in the questions that we ask in our intake call, you could reach out to me, and you reach out to Leslie, and we'll share this, because my intake call has, you know, changed from the time I started as a recruiter to where it is now, but one of the questions that I ask my leaders is, like, as far as the type of candidate, what do you need this person to do? Like, what does success look like? Because there are different types of candidates. I have candidates where that, you know, they'll say, these are the skill sets I need. And you ask the question, do they need it, or is this something that they can learn? You know, and then as far as success, do you need to jump into this role hit the ground running. Example, you're launching a product and you need someone to help you launch it. You probably need someone who's done this before. You don't want them to learn on the job. So mm-hmm. they may come in, stay 2 or 3 years. You're going to pay them premium, and then they're moving on. You might have another role where you're like, hey, I want this person to stay and grow in the role. These are two different types of candidates. And I think that's part of the strategy call is, you know, can they grow into this, or are you looking for someone to come do the job quickly and then they're out and move on?
Absolutely true. Yep.
I cannot believe we're at 30 minutes.
Well,
how did we get there so quickly?
I was going to say that went by very quickly, Lisa. It's like a regular day for us.
But we've solved so many problems. So I think, you know, as we wrap up, so, you know, just for our listeners, like, you know, and I think it's not a difficult thing. I think it's really just kind of thinking about the process and thinking about your candidate. You know, make sure you have a good job description, know what you're looking for, write a job ad that attracts the right type of candidates, make sure you know what your budget is, make sure that your recruiter, your hiring leader, your hiring committee, they are all aligned. Best way is to communicate and ask the right questions. You know, be careful of looking for that unicorn or the purple squirrel. If you say that, hey, this is going to be nobody's out there that looks like, you know, that has these skills. Well, if there's nobody out there that has these skills, we're not going to hire for it because there's nobody out there. You know, have some concessions. Think about, can they learn this skill, you know, or is this a must have or a nice to have? Know the difference between those. And I think that was all of them. I think that was it.
I think you covered them all.
Did we hit them all? Good. All right. So Leslie,
and recruiting is nothing if not a process. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
Yeah. So thank you for being on the show again today. It's always such a pleasure. You have such great insights. So if our listeners want to connect with you directly, what's the best way for them to reach you?
I can be searched up on LinkedIn, definitely. It's Leslie and then Dagnault, Dagnault.
Yep, and it'll be on the show page as well for Leslie's link. And Leslie, I know that you do some contract consulting work, so if anybody is looking for like a fantastic recruiter consultant, I would definitely say reach out to Leslie.
Please do, by all means.
She's done it. She's done it all in lots of different industries. Hard to fill campus, you know, hired nurses, doctors, I mean, financial.
I love it. I think Lisa and
risk.
I both really enjoy it. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So you can reach out to Leslie. So I want to give
a special thanks
to our listeners, both in the U.S. and internationally. You can listen to more Women Lead Radio on Apple or Google Podcasts, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. We'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show each Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific. All right, everyone. Go
tune
forth
in.
And hire.
Tune in.
Make me proud. Thanks, Leslie.
Thank you. Bye.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.